The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, May the 12th, if you're listening to the podcast in audio form. If you're watching on YouTube, it is Wednesday, May 11th, and we're going to do some betting awards. But before, we're going to do some awards, some early look at the betting market for NFL awards for 2022. But before we do that, we have to wish our guy, Tyler Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully, happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Really excited for you in this thrilling birthday.
Last run of the 20s, too. 29.
Oh, I hate you. Nah, forget it. I'm not excited for you anymore. And you know what? I hope you just have a great rest of the week, Sully.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Will.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, let's dive right into the award market, shall we?
Let's do it.
We start with the MVP award, and all odds courtesy of our friends over at Caesars. Josh Allen, I mean, it's pretty crazy, but it's not that insane, is the favorite over Patrick Mahomes at 7-1, Mahomes 7.5-1, Tom Brady, your third favorite at 9-1, the reigning two-time MVP, Aaron Rodgers, a disrespectful 10-1. Justin Herbert, 12. Joe Burrow, 13. Newly minted Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson checks in at 16-1, along with Matthew Stafford. They'll play, by the way, on Christmas Day on CBS and Paramount Plus. And then we get into the 20s with Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, and Lamar Jackson. So, Sully, I think when we say top pick, what we're saying is I think we're saying, who is your favorite out of, or who, like, our editors call you up and say, Sully, we need your pick for MVP for the season. Who are you picking?
Like, I'm picking
who do you believe will win MVP in 2022? Not necessarily like, who's your favorite long shot? Who do you believe will win MVP in 2022 as we stand here in May?
Yeah, it's a good question when you frame it that way, because again, you can love a value and you can invest more heavily in those because you might feel like that's a better bang for your buck. But then again, you still have to have those realistic ones, and Josh Allen certainly up there. But for me, it's Patrick Mahomes. He's still the guy for me that I'm looking at to say, okay, he's arguably the number one, number two quarterback in the NFL. I'm not putting him much further down that list than that. And I think the storyline's there for him all offseason. It's been about this arms race in the AFC West with all of these teams loading up, adding talent, and the Chiefs have been the team that have lost talent. They've lost Tyreek Hill, and how is that going to look for this offense with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid? And if all of a sudden Mahomes continues to look like Patrick Mahomes with his new cast of characters, they still win the division, he puts up Mahomes-like numbers, I don't know how the storyline doesn't back up an MVP voting for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree at all. I don't know. Like, I think if you go with Mahomes for MVP in 2022, you'll probably be a little bit contrarian in the sense that I expect a lot of Josh Allen MVP picks. Yeah. RJ White was on the pod and pointed out, you were on with him, right?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, there's a great point, Sully, that you may not have heard. You and I talked with RJ White about this, but the change in offensive coordinator is definitely at least a reason to be worried about the Bills. I mean, Josh Allen can win MVP regardless of who's calling the plays, but you know, you probably need to have 14 wins. You probably have to have the one seed in the AFC. You know, you have to have a monster season. All that could happen, but I don't know that I'd want to bet. I would rather bet Mahomes at 7.5 to 1 than Allen at seven to one, because I think the narrative surrounding Mahomes, as you point out, if he has a like a bonker season, which he has certainly been known to do, then you know he can easily win MVP. And we've usually seen him about 5 to 1, even though he hasn't really been involved in the race in recent years. I'm going to say, like, let's look. I think keep it inside of 20 to 1, like less than 20 to 1 for your pick. I mean, if you firmly believe that Derek Carr is going to win MVP, by all means, go for it. But I will say that Matthew Stafford is going to be my pick for MVP at 16 to 1. I know they just won the Super Bowl. He didn't win Super Bowl MVP. Did he win Super Bowl MVP? Cooper Kupp did, yeah. So, you know, he's got that chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness. Wait,
I believe it was Cooper Kupp.
It was Cooper Kupp, yeah.
Yeah. I was mad because I had Aaron Donald as the MVP.
Me too. Yeah. That was annoying. And he definitely could have won. So, you know, I sort of think people are sleeping on the fact that Stafford had, I don't know, a pretty huge season last year. He threw for 4,886 yards, 41 passing touchdowns. And yes, he led the league with 17 interceptions, but he also completed 67.2% of his passes. I mean, this was by far the best season of his career. You know, you could maybe argue the 10-6 season with the Lions in 2011 when he had 5,000 passing yards and 41 passing touchdowns. But like, I just think the way that it went down was the best season of his career. And I don't think, you know, they won the Super Bowl. I don't think many people would argue with it. And now he's going into the second season with Sean McVay. You know, they lose Andrew Whitworth. You're not going to have Robert Woods. You're not going to have Odell Beckham, but you sign Allen Robinson. Kupp is back. There are plenty of weapons on that offense. And, you know, I just think there's a chance that he has an even bigger year, maybe a more efficient year with the same big numbers. And 16 to 1 is a pretty good value for a guy who is very likely going to be one of the top two or three seeds, worst case, in the NFC. So I'll take Stafford as my homer pick there. What about your value play? Say anybody 20 to 1 or more, because I think at this point they've, you know, these, we talk about this all the time, but these odds are so, these are actually not bad for MVP right now. Usually they're much more condensed. Anyway, your value play at 20 to 1 or greater.
I love the Stafford one, by the way. I just think that that's, you know, great, great value there too. Even though, you know, it's under 20 to 1, still great value for a guy that won a Super Bowl going into that second year. I love that pick.
Right, and you and I both picked, I think, the Rams as like the best value play to win the NFC, right?
Yeah, for sure. And then for me, though, the value pick too, and I know Debo's going to like this, is Jalen Hurts, 40 to 1. For me, he's going into his second full season as the full-time starter. They just loaded up offensively by acquiring A.J. Brown. It's his second year in the system under Nick Sirianni. Plus, they have a very easy schedule. It feels like that is a great narrative that we're pushing here, because if they all of a sudden contend in the NFCs, win that division, remember, they have a very easy schedule in terms of, you know, the win-loss records. When you look at the strength of schedule that way, Sharp Football kind of broke that down. The Philadelphia Eagles have a very easy schedule this coming season. If he puts up monster numbers and you also account for his rushing statistics, to me, he's going to have a compelling case if he lives up to his potential there in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I love Hurts at 40 to 1 there. I just want to point, and just on Hurts, the one thing that, and I harped on this a lot last year, and I guess I'm hypocritical for harping on it and now being like, I'm an Eagles fan. But I mean, a lot of games Hurts would end up with like 30 fantasy points. You're like, he played like crap. What just happened there? But if they win a bunch of games and he's efficient and he's rushing and he improves his passing metrics, yeah, I mean, 40 to 1 is not crazy at all, especially if the Eagles are really good on the defensive line and really good on the offensive line. I mean, they got players, you know. A couple guys take a leap forward in that offense, and not crazy at all.
I mean, you're not talking only about A.J. Brown, but you have Devontae Smith going into year two. You have Miles Sanders hopefully being healthy this season. There are pieces in Dallas Goedert as a tight end receiving option there as well. There are plenty of options for him in the passing game. It's just been about more consistency. I mean, it's a 40 to 1 MVP type of shot here. It's not like it's a layup, but by any means. But this is a very interesting year for him. You know, it is, can you be that franchise guy? Can you be the guy that they can continue to build around over the next few years here? You're, with this pick, clearly reaching for the ceiling in that regard, but we've seen it before. Russian quarterbacks can find success. I mean, Lamar Jackson, he had an insane passing season during that MVP season. What was that, 2020 or 2019 or whatever it was? But, you know, could Jalen Hurts have something along those lines? It wouldn't totally surprise me. I don't think it would totally come out of left field at all.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times people get too caught up in the, like, because of the last few years with Mahomes and the Lamar Jackson, it's like, oh, it's got to be a second-year quarterback who has this big season. Well, third-year quarterback can do it too. Like, it doesn't, you know, Kyler Murray is at least a name, I think, to watch. He wouldn't be my value pick, but the fact that I'm very surprised that Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, and Lamar Jackson are north of 20-1. And I think Lamar Jackson is my pick for the value play. I know, like, I'm a little cheating here because I'm taking the 20-1. You know, but I went Stafford, yeah, so I think he's even himself out.
Yeah.
Lamar's won the MVP before. The Ravens are going to get positive injury regression. He's playing for a contract. I think he should be really more like 15-1 or 12-1 in that same range as Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow and Russell Wilson. Like, I think it's a little disrespectful. So I would say that Lamar is a value play at 20-1. And then I want to point out that Cooper Kupp, don't bet that at 50-1. Derrick Henry, don't bet that at 50-1. Jonathan Taylor, don't bet that at 50-1. Trey Lance at 60-1. No, I don't think so. But Matt Ryan at 60-1. Oh, I can be talked into that.
For sure.
If they fix that left tackle spot and he has a really efficient, insane season where he's putting up numbers, they add maybe a Julio or another wide receiver, he posts big numbers. He's not going to throw for 5,000 yards, not in that offense, not with the way that they want to play. But, I mean, if he's hitting a bunch of deep shots to Michael Pittman and the Colts win 12, 13, 14 games and people say, wow, his value over Carson Wentz is that big, let's give this guy some love. So I think 60-1 is worth a little nibble there on Matt Ryan. And I just want to point out, for the sake of dunking on everyone's favorite clown show, everyone's favorite commando, Carson Wentz, that he is 125-1, which is the same odds as Baker Mayfield. Oh! Daniel Jones, 150-1. Jameis Winston, 150-1. I will only do quarterbacks. I refuse to discuss anybody else. Jimmy Garoppolo and Sam Darnold, 150-1. Teddy Bridgewater, my God, this is a sad state of affairs. Is there anybody? I mean, Jared Goff, 200-1 that's a bridge too far, right?
Yeah, it's
Justin Fields.
I looked at him, but man, there's
just nothing there. There's nothing. It would literally take a Herculean MVP, something we've never seen performance from him to even be in that conversation. I guess that if they contend, then sure, but I don't know.
Yeah, I see. I've seen a couple people. I can't remember where it was. I want to say it was Sam Monson at PFF. It was definitely like a Twitter convo, but it's like, are we sure does the current Bears regime actually believe in Justin Fields? Because their actions this offseason would lead you to believe they have no interest in helping Justin Fields because they're not putting anything around him. So, yeah, I mean, Debo, the number is so long. Of those of the guys at the 125 or worse, Fields would be the guy I would bet on probably. But yeah, I mean, I guess Zach Wilson, maybe. We just can't bet. I mean, we're just throwing money away.
I almost feel like I'd rather do Zach Wilson than Justin Fields really at this point. When you're talking about the surrounding cast.
Like if Zach Wilson just took this huge leap and he has all these pieces around him and the Jets win the division. If the Jets win the division, like, he's going to get some buzz for it.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. What is our next award? He said in charge of the podcast, Defensive Player of the Year Award. Aaron Donald naturally checks in at 7-1 along with TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, 7.5-1, Micah Parsons, 10-1, Nick Bosa, 14, and then Chase Young and Joey Bosa at 20-1. So, feel free to make, if you want to make your pick, anybody, you know, who's your top pick?
It's Micah Parsons, 10-1. I absolutely love that pick. 13 sacks a year ago, the defensive rookie of the year. I mean, we were talking about him towards the tail end of the year, not just defensive rookie of the year, but he was in the defensive player of the year type of conversations. He plays for a massive market in the Dallas Cowboys. He's going to be on TV all the time, you know, national television, yep, all the time. He's going to have plenty of eyeballs on him. If he simply replicates this type of season and the Dallas Cowboys once again have a year where they're top in the league in DVOA, and you know, one of the most efficient defenses in the NFL, they're winning the division, they're vying for a number one seed, and it's largely based on that defense, the face of it is going to be Micah Parsons, and they're going to be looking at him with some defensive player of the year votes for sure.
I'm going to go Myles Garrett.
Okay.
At 7.5 to 1. It's super short. It's not great value, but you know, because of TJ Watt and his monster season last year where he tied the sack record, the fact that Myles Garrett had the best year of his career really flew under the radar. 16 sacks in 17 games. He had, 33 quarterback hits, by far and away the highest of his career, made all pro, first team and Pro Bowl for the second straight year, and is just now turning, he will turn 27 in December. So it'll be a 26-year-old, is that right? I'm terrible at this. I'll turn 27 late December. Very much in the mix for defensive player of the year, but again, just got beat out by Aaron Donald. TJ Watt, excuse me. Donald wouldn't shock me at all, but the sack factor with Garrett, I think we see on HQ yesterday, HQ on Tuesday. But if you read the stuff around the, because you and I had to do the positional battle stuff, right? And so, I mean, yeah, not to dive into the muck of the behind the scenes, but like Sully and I were basically told, like, give us a position battle to watch for 8 teams in the AFC. And you're like, what? Like, it's not even it's middle of May. Okay, sure. And I started looking at the Browns and just reading into some stuff about the Browns. And actually, you know, it turns out this is educational because it appears that the Browns are completely reworking their passing attack, where they're not going to be this heavy tight end formation type team. They're going to try and open it up because they got Deshaun Watson now.
Right.
And I think that could lead to more shootouts, more scoring, longer games, more opportunities for the opposing team to drop back and pass, which could lead to more sacks for Myles Garrett. So I think that's kind of a sneaky factor there. Not great odds, but whatever. Who's your value guy?
I got a couple of guys here. One of them, Von Miller, 35. 35 to 1. Again, going to a new team in the Buffalo Bills, the Super Bowl favorites. He's going to, you know, inject life into that pass rush, inject life into that defense.
High scoring team that's going to see a ton of teams trying to come back on him by dropping back.
I was just going to say, very similar to your kind of analysis with Myles Garrett there. This team's going to put up points. Opposing teams are going to be trailing all the time, which allows guys like Von Miller to absolutely tee off on the opposing quarterbacks. So for me, and also they're playing in a division where at least one team in the New England Patriots doesn't have the most sturdy of offensive lines. So there's a couple of games there where all of a sudden you'll be able to go after Mac Jones and really put up some numbers there.
Hey buddy, if Mekhi Becton doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And if Teron Armstead isn't healthy, yeah, and Mekhi Becton doesn't work out, it's just open season for Von Miller and up there in that rifle, that hunting country in Buffalo.
And then the other one for me, also another, it's not 35 to 1. Excuse me. It's 60 to 1. Max Crosby. Somebody I think
That's a good call. I missed that one.
Super long shot to keep an eye on there. I believe he had like 8 sacks or 9 sacks a year last season. Second team all pro, first time pro bowler coming off a season. Now an off season where he just signed a $100 million contract extension. But all of that aside, the Raiders went out and acquired Chandler Jones. And he is going to now be paired with him on the opposite edge to really wreak havoc on opposing defenses. And if, again, offensive lines are looking at not just trying to contain Max Crosby, but now Chandler Jones as well, both of those guys will probably get more opportunities to get after the quarterback. So if you're looking at a multi-sack season, the Raiders' defense is just mowing down this gauntlet of quarterbacks in the AFC West and Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Russell Wilson. There's a case to be made for, again, the star of that defense, possibly Crosby, to get some love.
Yeah, and just one thing to point out when you're making these, you know, these picks for defensive player of the year, and it's not logical per se, but it is just how it works. You need the team to win.
Yeah,
it's gonna be really tough for a team that sucks. Even on it has to be like a super elite defense and a really bad offense and a bad football team and a tough division for a guy whose team isn't winning to win defensive player of the year. With that in mind, I think I'm going to pick. I got three long shots. I really like the Max Crosby pick. I think actually I have four long shots. Trey Hendrickson, I think you could throw in there as well.
Sure.
60 to one. Yeah. Bengals have a big season. Defense takes another step forward. He has a monster year. 60 to one is probably just too long for a guy with his pass rushing skills. And then in the 50 to one range, Debo, you can scroll up just a little bit. Three guys in a row, which is, I know, a little much, but whatever. I'll be splashing all three of these guys. Derwin James, 50 to 1, Darius Leonard, and Devin White all happen to be directly in a row. Thank you, Alphabet, for the hookup there. Devin White, here's my theory on all three of these guys. Not only, they don't necessarily play. So the reason pass rushers win the Defensive Player of the Year is they pile up sacks. Well, all three of Derwin James, Darius Leonard, Devin White are monster stat producers, right? All three guys pile up tackles. They pile up interceptions. They pile up fumbles. They pile up forced fumbles, fumble recoveries. They'll score a touchdown or two here and there. Devin White could really take a leap forward this year. Derwin, if he's healthy for a full season, will be in the mix. And then Leonard, is one defensive rookie of the year, so he's no stranger to these voters. Again, you need 17 games from all three guys probably. But all three teams should be good. So I like that look for all three of those guys as a splash. If you don't feel like investing in the 7.5 to 1 range for Garrett or one of those guys. And my fault. I should have mentioned, Debo pointed out, Jalen Hurts at Caesars is taking, Caesars? Debo? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Caesars, Jalen Hurts has drawn the most tickets and money to win MVP over the last month.
Yeah, a lot. And I think a lot of that might have to do, well, not if it's the past month, and it's not. But again, the A.J. Brown trade will certainly kind of boost that a little bit.
I'm sure a bunch of idiots, as soon as A.J. Brown got traded, bet the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. Dummies. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about what those stupid idiots think about Coach of the Year and offensive defensive rookie of the year as well.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
So, Coach of the Year, Dan Campbell is getting some absolute heat at Caesars. Nearly triple the tickets and double the money as anyone else to win Coach of the Year. His odds have shifted from 60 to 1 to 25 to 1 in the last month. Frankly, I don't understand why he was ever 60 to 1. He doesn't have to win 10 games to win Coach of the Year. If he wins 10 games, he's a stone-cold mortal lock to win Coach of the Year. And the Lions have a fairly easy schedule relative to, their division is much – I think the Bears are fundamentally worse than the Lions on paper. I think the Vikings will be better on offense, but I don't know about defense. The Lions try hard and we're in everything. There's no reason he ever should have been 60-1. The favorites here, Kyle Shanahan, 15-1, Andy Reid, Mike Vrabel, Kevin Stefanski, Nathaniel Hackett, Brandon Staley, Sean McVay, Sean McDermott, all 15-1, Zach Taylor, 18-1, Frank Reich, 18-1. I don't think this is particularly a market that I like to dabble in because it's you're basically picking out who is going to outperform expectations. Yeah. That's what it is. Who exceeds their win total the most or is the biggest surprise or Vrabel wins, gets the number one seed, and so therefore he's going to get it there. So I guess I don't think we need to give a value pick. Just who is your pick? Because it could really be anybody.
Well, really quickly on the Dan Campbell stuff too, just to further point to that, hammer that home. You got to remember the Lions again weren't good last season, 3-13-1, but they were 11-6 against the spread. They were in every game, tooth and nail. They were a great team to bet on all year. So if a few of those games shift a little bit this season.
And weren't they the first team ever to lose on back-to-back game walk-off 50-yard field goal? It's insanity. Yeah. have like four of those games break your way and go 7-10, and Dan Campbell's just going to get that award with this roster.
Right. And wasn't the week one game, I forget who it was against, but like DeAndre Swift dropped that pass.
San Francisco broke their back. Yeah,
exactly. So like, you know, it's stuff like that where you go, okay, things, you get a little bit luckier this season. Yeah, that could look totally different there. But looking for mine, the top pick, I'll go quickly on it because it's basically the same premise as Patrick Mahomes. Andy Reid, 15-1, is somebody to keep an eye on there. Because again, that whole division is loaded up. They lost Tyreek Hill. If he's able to coach his way to a division title and possibly a one seed, then you're obviously having that conversation.
That's a great point. In fact, I would rather bet Andy Reid 15-1 than Mahomes at 7.5-1, because it just, if the Chiefs run away with this division and, like, you know, if they win 14 games and win this division, it's like, this is Andy Reid's finest coaching job yet. And he will absolutely be in the mix for it. I'm not betting Vrabel. I'm not betting Stefanski because he's got a quarterback upgrade. Hackett got Russell Wilson, so he won't get as much credit. Staley is the golden boy, I guess, but 15-1 short. McVay, no thanks. McDermott hasn't won it, so I mean, I guess like a 15-win season for the Bills could do it.
I'll give you my favorite one though. That, you know, the Andy Reid one was, again, just something to keep an eye out because it's a very similar premise. Yeah. But the number one that I love out of all this is Mike Tomlin, 50-1. That one for me, I absolutely want to hammer before the start of the season.
That's a great call.
Never had a losing season as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, as the head coach of the Steelers. Still has a great defense with TJ Watt and all those guys going into next season. All it really predicates on is if he can get consistent quarterback play. If Kenny Pickett or Mitchell Trubisky are halfway decent. And again, all you have to do is upgrade from Ben Roethlisberger of 2021. It's not this future Hall of Fame quarterback that they're trying to.
The corpse of Ben Roethlisberger.
You just have to. Yeah, the corpse. Exactly. The corpse of Ben Roethlisberger. You just got to be better than that. And I
think the third worst odds, that is so disrespectful.
I think they can do it. And so all of a sudden, if you're talking about them competing as even a wild card team,
dude, 10-7, and you somehow steal that division, or you get as a wild card, people are like, okay, Tomlin's fine. And same thing with Reed. It's like, this is his finest work yet. The other one, and like, I know this is, I would much rather bet Tomlin, but I mean, Pete Carroll 61 is a little disrespectful. Like, what if he cobbles together a 10-win season with Drew Locke and Geno Smith? Like, I mean, that's not as, I mean, crazier things have happened, right?
I mean, even if they get Baker Mayfield, you know, or even if they, you know, whatever quarterbacks are available, it won't shift his market too much, but it could raise his ceiling a little bit.
I mean, the gum smacking 10-win Pete Carroll with Drew Locke, Geno, and Baker at 60-1 is, I'm at least intrigued. All right. Offensive rookie of the year. I have my buddy Newman hit me up about these. He said, we got these up like on the old local. I saw the odds when they were first posted and was disgust. Not, I don't know if it was disgusted with Caesars, but like, yeah, I mean, this is the rant that I went on when we were talking about these. I mean, I get it. You know, there's a lot to shake out before we know who's going to have what usage, and the books don't want to be burned, but there can't be seven guys at 10-1 or lower. Like, there's not even that for the MVP. I mean, it's basically the admission from the sports books that they don't know what the hell is going to happen with the offensive rookie of the year. They want to, like, maybe the Jamar Chase thing got him last year. I don't know. Or maybe they were worried about the Mac Jones thing last year. But like, all these dudes under 20-1. I mean, Sam Howell is 25-1. Sam Howell is probably not seeing the field this year. Like, it's a problem for the Washington. If Sam Howell's on the field a ton. There's another one that's ridiculous on here. Who is it?
Well, I think, you know,
Carson Strong is okay. He's 60-1, but like, yeah. I don't know. Pick whoever you want. I mean, these odds are just, Malik Willis is 12-1. He's probably not seeing the field for the first half of the season. So I think it's mostly pick who you want up top and we can move on. Cause there's really just not a lot of value.
Yeah. And you can make the same case for Desmond Ridder, 16-1. We don't know if he's seeing the field or not. I mean, at that point, yeah, there might be some value.
One of these quarterbacks was taken in the first round and the rest weren't even taken in the second round. Like, exactly. What are we doing here?
So Kenny Pickett is someone who I think naturally people gravitate to because it's a quarterback. It's the first guy taken in the first round. But again, 6-1, I don't particularly love it. The one that I think is the most intriguing is Christian Watson, 10-1. if he adopts even a fraction of the target share that Davante Adams leaves behind, and if he gains any sort of chemistry with Aaron Rodgers, you're talking about a guy that can put up numbers that are comparable to like a Ja'Marr Chase or something like that, previous winners there. So for me, he's the only one I'm paying a ton of attention to, but it's really only linked, or it's linked to, again, his quarterback and the hole that the Packers have in that offense.
Yeah, I mean, I really hate all these. It's like they're terrible. Like Treylon Burks would be kind of interesting because he's wide receiver one in Tennessee at this point, but he's 8-1. Like, I mean,
is that true though? Because, you know, I mean, Robert Woods,
yeah, maybe
is at least more experienced.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I mean, I hate these odds. I guess I would look at, like, if you were picking right now, if for CBS for the .com, who would you go with?
It would be Christian Watson.
Okay,
that would be my pick.
Yeah, that's a perfectly fine pick. I think I would go on a limb, and this would be my bet too, I guess, my short one. But I mean, I'll say James Cook, you know, the Super Bowl favorite, invested pretty early in him. You know, Devin Singletary looked good down the stretch, but hasn't been consistent throughout his career. I don't think they really love Zach Moss.
Yep.
Maybe they let James Cook cook, and maybe he's just Dalvin's brother, and it's like the TJ Watt thing where he's just good and nobody knew it. I did notice one value play, and if you got one, feel free to throw it out. But, I only noticed this and it hit me because I have these stupid positional values, positional battles we had to do. But David Bell at 80-1.
Okay.
I mean, he's probably going to be the starting slot guy for a Cleveland Browns team that might end up having 17 games of Deshaun Watson because his suspension won't happen until 2023. Not crazy.
Don't hate it. Where's Sky Moore in all this? Where is he?
Dude, he's like 12-1. It's insane. God.
It's, you know,
15-1.
Not terrible, I guess, considering, yeah, you know, considering the field, but, you know, he's someone I guess you'd pay attention to just because of a high powered offense. And we don't know what the pecking order is going to look like there.
For sure. And like, he should be like 25-1. Though.
Yeah.
Like worst case. All right. Defensive rookie of the year. No offense, Caesars. I'll also probably bet Bam Knight. What is he? 125-1. He's not going to win. Don't bet that. Defensive rookie of the year, Aiden Hutchinson, the favorite. Again, we have the same sort of problem, so we'll be a little bit quick here. 3.5-1 for Hutchinson. Tibbs is 4-1. Trayvon Walker, 5-1. I mean, what are we doing? Devin Lloyd, Jermaine Johnson, Quay Walker, 9-1. Stingley, Ahmad Garner, 10-1. Kyle Hamilton, 11-1. Do you see the problem here? All these people are like way too low. Jordan Davis, 12-1. He's not going to win rookie of the year. Trent McDuffie, 18-1. And then Kyrie Elam, George Karlaftis, 20-1. N'Kobe Dean, Andrew Booth, Devontae Wyatt, 25-1. Lewis Cine, Daxton Hill, and Roger McCreary, and Drake Jackson, 30-1. Who would be your pick if you were making a selection for the CBSSports.com website?
Like, if I had to make a pick, it's Aiden Hutchinson just because I think he'll put up the numbers. But if you're looking for value here, for me, it's George Karlaftis. I think that he's somebody that, again, is on Kansas City, high-profile team. Opponents will be trailing. Just like you said, it's the same type of formula. First-round pick, pass rusher, 20-1.
And even without trailing, they're going to be dropping back. Like, in
right. Yeah, so for me, that's who I'd be looking at.
That's fine. If I'm making a pick for the site, I'm going to take either Thibodeau or Trayvon Walker, probably. Thibodeau doesn't get – Trayvon Walker, I know the production wasn't there, Georgia, whatever, blah, 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 but, like, they took him one overall. You better believe Trent Baalke is going to make sure that coaching staff convinces Shad Khan that it was a smart investment. Because if Aiden Hutchinson has a 15-sack season and Trayvon Walker is, like, getting stuffed by, you know, like, backup left tackles or backup right tackles, it's going to be a problem for Trent Baalke's job security. So I think they will scheme up Trayvon Walker to have a big year, and you have, you know, rushing across from Josh Allen, so you're not taking the role of the number one pass rusher. You know, so he might be my pick, and
he might even be like the least bet number one overall pick for you know, rookie of the year in his respective category in a long time too.
Yeah, that's as far as if there's a value play down the board, God, there's really not. Maybe Arnold Ebikidi, but he's playing for the Falcons and is like kind of their number one pass rusher. Ugh.
I don't know if I love that either. I don't know if I want for anything. The only Falcon that I might even consider in terms of like rookie of the year or whatever would be Drake London if he just takes a ton of volume because nobody else is there to catch passes, but I don't know if I want to touch anything on the defensive side there.
I don't think I like much here. All right, let's move on to the next award. Oh, the final award. Our friend of the podcast. He is a friend of the podcast, although he's not been on the podcast. At Vegas Refund. I don't know if I'm allowed to reveal his real name or not. But he spurned this podcast for the Deep Dive podcast with Andy and Drew, who are friends of the podcast. So screw you, VR. Just kidding. He's a great guy. He was actually asking about a particular candidate on this list. Oh my God. Well, we're just going to have to talk about it because he's the third favorite for some reason to win comeback player of the year, Deshaun Watson at 6.5-1. Are you kidding me? What the hell? Comeback player of the year award. The favorite is Derrick Henry at 3.5-1. Jameis Winston. I don't know what's worse, Jameis or Deshaun. Neither one of those guys. There's 0.00000000001% chance that Deshaun Watson wins comeback player of the year award. There were voters who wouldn't give Aaron Rodgers an MVP vote because he didn't get vaccinated. No one is giving Deshaun Watson comeback player of the year award because he came back from sitting out a season during which he was charged with 22 allegations of sexual assault. That is not happening with those voters. I cannot see that happening. There is no way he should be 6.5-1. Do not bet that.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine him going up to the podium at the NFL honors being like, thank you for this? It's like,
if Roger Goodell nuke the votes, he would just not let it happen.
He can't. It would be a PR nightmare for the NFL. Nobody's going to vote for it. It's the worst bet on the board by far.
It's the worst bet we've discussed today.
Yeah.
When we were talking about this in a chat, and I didn't even see anybody post it. I thought it was 25-1. And even then, that's a terrible bet.
Can't touch it. You never want to say anything's not going to happen. This is not going to happen.
It is not going to happen.
Definitively not going to happen.
If he wins the award by virtue of the votes, the NFL will call the Associated Press and demand a recount. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they tell the Associated Press, keep him off the ballot. Yeah. Do not put him on. Because there's a decent chance, the way things are running, Sully, that Deshaun Watson it plays the entire season, and we don't know the outcome of his off-field cases, the civil lawsuits, and or the conclusion with the NFL. So you would, if you gave him the award this year and then he's suspended 12 games next year, you're gonna give him the award again. Yeah. This is, I can't believe they listed this.
But just in general, too, even players, obviously he hasn't been suspended yet, but even those type of players make no sense for this type of award.
Right.
It's an injury award. It's not a coming back from a suspension type of award just because you missed time.
The only case that I can ever remember of a comeback happening from something that wasn't injury related in the past 10 years is when they gave Philip Rivers the comeback player of the year award, and he came back from being crappy one season.
I will say the only parallel that I would draw is Mike Vick, which I feel like is a...
Did he win it?
Notable one. Yeah, 2010.
Huh. That's interesting, I guess, but...
Yeah, but he came... I mean, okay, all right. That's a good point. Okay, all right. That is why you put... I guess that's why you make the odd 6.5-1. Out of fear of... You can't make it 650-1 and then you get just because people would bet that.
Right. And especially if something comes out and it's he's fully exonerated, it didn't have unlikely.
I still think it's 0.00000.
I'm with you. I don't think it's happening.
All right. So I just want to, it's a really good point, Devo. You obviously stopped me and Sully in our tracks. I think the one difference I would say is this. Deshaun Watson sat out a season and got paid for it. And it was active the whole year. So he's just coming back from the Texans not wanting to play him. Michael Vick actually went to jail and served his time for what he did, which I know we all love dogs, right? I grew up with a bunch of dogs. I love dogs, But I think we can all say that if it comes out that what Deshaun Watson is accused of doing, he did, it is obviously much worse than what Michael Vick did, right?
For sure.
Okay. Okay. I was like, I was running that in my head. I'm like, I'm not crazy, right? Like, I mean, so, and again, like Vick went to jail, served his time. I believe he, did he go to jail in 2008? I was sports blogging in 2008. What a world.
I think earlier than that, because I know he missed the 07, 08 seasons.
Right, because that was the Matt, okay. that was the pick that turned into Matt Ryan, right?
Yeah.
Patrino
quit mid-season. They drafted Matt Ryan and hired Mike Smith the next year.
And in 2009, he was not the Eagles' primary starter. Started one game, I believe. But his real comeback of the year season was his second year back in the league after those 2 years off.
Yeah. That's right. Okay. So, I mean, like, I think that's, like, again, Debo, tip of the cap to you. It is a fantastic point. But he missed 2 seasons for violation of the league personal conduct policy. So 2 full seasons missed and went to jail. Like, he served his time. You know, people can get, they can hate Michael Vick for what he did, but he served his time as per federal and or state regulations. So then he, you know, was on the Eagles and didn't play. I think he had 13 attempts, 6 of 13, 1 touchdown, you know, didn't play much. Did he run at all in that season? Did Andy Reid, Eagle, Debo, you probably remember this, but yeah, he had 24 rushing attempts for 95 yards and 2 touchdowns. So a little bit of situational rushing, and then came back in that 2010 season. Of course, famously, I think they opened in Washington, and Andy Reid uncorked Vic on that. Was it the first play from scrimmage, Debo?
I think you're...
Oh, I'm thinking of 2011.
2013, maybe. Chip Kelly's first game, or first couple weeks, there was a Monday night against Washington with a big connection with Vic and Deshaun Jackson. Yeah.
Man. That is what I'm thinking. Yep, it was Monday Night Football week one. It was like the first play... Or maybe I don't.
Everybody know. Was like, Chip Kelly is going to be an all-time NFL head coach.
I've been doing this too long, I think, at this point. Like, it all blurs together. I swear I thought there's a bomb from Vic to Deshaun Jackson to like.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely happened multiple times.
Okay.
Like that.
I swear it was week one against Washington. I guess I'm crazy.
They played Green Bay and lost in week one in 2010, and that's also the team that that ended their season in the wild card round that year.
Ah, here it is. Sorry. It wasn't week one. It was the absolute merciless Monday night slaughter of Washington, 59-28. That was the 2010 season in week
10.
Week 10. First play from scrimmage, 88-yard bomb from Vic to Deshaun Jackson. I don't know why I thought it was week one, but like it was maybe Michael Vick's first primetime game. No, he played on Sunday. I don't remember anything. Anyway, you get the point.
Yeah.
Back to comeback player of the year. We haven't even made our selections. We just ranted on to show why Deshaun Watson won't win for a good 15 minutes. Who would be your... So the favorites are Derrick Henry, Jameis Winston, Deshaun Watson, 6.5 to 1, Daniel Jones, 8 to 1, Michael Thomas, 9 to 1, Mitchell Trubisky, 12 to 1, Christian McCaffrey, 12 to 1, Marcus Mariota, 12. A lot of people coming back from just getting benched or not playing last year.
Well, that's my biggest thing. And then some of them, too, it's not only just getting benched and all of that, too, but like Derrick Henry, the favorite. He came back last year. Like he's already played. He's already back. He already made the comeback. So I don't understand where this is going. Like, yeah. Okay, he'll just be healthy this season. But like, all right, we already saw his comeback. This is not his comeback.
Yeah, it's very odd. Okay. I'm trying to find the longer odds here. I'm all over the place. J.K. Dobbins 16-1, Cam Akers 18-1, Nuke and Chase Young 20-1. Chris Godwin got hurt in the playoffs, 25, or at the end of the season, 25-1. Drew Locke, 25-1. Ooh, Travis Etienne, 25-1. Khalil Mack and Allen Robinson and Juju 25-1 as well. Any thoughts on who you like the best?
If we're looking at the top of the list, in top of the favorites, I don't mind Daniel Jones at 8-1, especially getting Brian Daboll now into that offense. It's, if he can, you know, sprinkle his fairy dust like he does to Josh Allen there, that changes his dynamic there. And I think he's come back. What was it? It was a neck injury, right? It was something.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He got hurt, and it was a concussion and then a neck injury. Yeah, because Glennon and
because I looked to see, like, okay, who actually missed the rest of the season? Because I feel like that's that warrants, you know, it's not a Derrick Henry like he came back. I want to see who actually just completely missed the rest of the year whenever they suffered their injury.
Jones, and you could also just say he's coming back from Joe Judge, which is a thing that's
also true. There's a narrative there as well. And so if Daboll can fix him in any degree and he starts looking like a legitimate franchise quarterback, I think that makes a lot of sense. But value-wise, you kind of, you know, alluded to it when you were going down that list. Travis Etienne's very interesting at 25-1. Already has the rapport with Trevor Lawrence. It's, you know, obviously he still has to get his feet wet in the NFL to a certain degree, but there's a rapport there. The coaching staff's better. I'd be really fascinated to see how he kind of, you know, situates himself there in that backfield.
I think there's actually a little bit of value here in two running backs, Christian McCaffrey 12-1 and J.K. Dobbins 16-1. Dobbins actually tore his ACL before the season started. So even if he, like, you're talking about the team that has, I think the stat from CBS Sports HQ, it's like 2,500 more rushing yards than anybody else since 2018. They're going to run the ball a ton in Baltimore. If Dobbins is healthy for 17 games, which is not crazy. I mean, he's, you know, he has like no wear and tear on him. He is crazy explosive, could easily run for 1,000 yards in that system if he is the lead back. And if that happens and, you know, and the Ravens are really good, it would be super easy to pick him as comeback player of the year. Cause you know, he just checks all the boxes, right? Like high profile position, zero stats last year, really productive, good team, you know, involved in the playoff race. And then I think McCaffrey, you know, McCaffrey technically came back last year too, but then left again because of injury. And so if McCaffrey just has a CMC season where he goes for 2,000 total yards, like it's just not, I mean, you know, if you get 16 or 15 or 16 games for Christian McCaffrey next year, and he's really good and the Panthers are a middling team, I could see that, like, he should probably be lower than 12-1. And I don't know why Cam Akers came back for the playoffs and like they won the Super
Bowl. Right. It's another one where it's like, all right, he's already back. So yeah, I don't know what you want me to. And the other one for me, just the last one on my end, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Hey, by the way, I think the ETN one is a must bet at 25-1.
It's the same there, well, as well as Juju Smith-Schuster. I think in that same realm, somebody to keep an eye on there. He was limited to 5 games last year with a shoulder injury now. It's not like he tore his ACL or ripped his Achilles in half or anything like that. His lower body, his speed should still be there. It's a shoulder. It should be, you know, an easier thing to come back from for a wide receiver. And if he is the number one option for Patrick Mahomes, you're talking about like bonkers numbers for him.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, for sure. I think Trey White at 30-1 isn't crazy. Like, you know, and like you have to avoid. I mean, you almost have to avoid a defensive player of the year situation with him. I'm just looking way down the line. Carl Lawson at 60-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jets are okay. Carl Lawson piles up the sacks. Didn't they add a pass rusher? Oh yeah, they get Jermaine Johnson. Like Jermaine Johnson comes in and makes it easier on Carl Lawson. He has a big season. 61 isn't out of control. Will Fuller should be just don't bet Will Fuller. Okay. That's it for the award market. A nice tidy 46 minutes. That's my birthday present to you, Sully.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. And thank you for doing the podcast. You're on here a ton. We really appreciate it. Of course. And of course, I wish you good luck in all your future endeavors.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate that.
All right, Sully. For Sully, I'm Brinson. We will talk to you guys later.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.